blacked out here too.
What? Why?
I don't know. I mean, I can see Vancouver and Edmonton.
Who cares about that? Vancouver just scored. Big deal.
Oh, they did? It's 2-2 still. And nope, that wasn't the goal.
3-2. Granlund just scored.
I'll tell you what. Oh, man. I'll tell you when it comes up here. Cause, and there it is. Oh, it's just a sloppy tip.
Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, Jay Veen. In this show, my man James, Tate Blake Graylian, and I discuss the new coach for the Avs, the World Cup of Hockey, full-price preseason tickets, and we make a prediction or two for the upcoming season. Those topics and a whole bunch more Avs and hockey stuff coming at you in episode number 102 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stay tuned. The AHP is next. Hey, what's going on, Avs fans? Welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is the ninth season of the Avs Hockey Podcast. He is James Tate Blake Graylian, and I'm Jay Veen, and this is your home for almost everything Avalanche. Partner, what's going on?
How you doing?
Welcome to the ninth season.
I can't believe it's the ninth season.
It's ninth season for me. I believe it's the sixth full season we've been doing together. Yes?
I think six together.
Right around in there.
Because I think it was the end of the third season when you came, when we met.
This is what we do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. At the end, when we hit season 10, we need to like have, you need a nickname.
There's going
to
be.
I mean, if I've got to keep tape leg and it can't be Shrek, you need a nickname. I don't know what it's going to be.
We'll come up with something fancy. It'll be a hashtag. I like it.
Okay.
It'll be amazing.
Yeah.
What's going on? Where are you in the world?
I am in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kind of weird, huh? Last time we did one of these, I was in Portland. And then, let's see, then I broke my ankle.
Yeah, I was going to ask if we were going to talk about that.
Yeah, briefly. And then I was in San Diego, and I really wasn't in any state to do that, to do a show. And really, there wasn't a lot to talk about at that time.
I think you and pain meds would make a pretty good show, actually.
You know, I agree. I would be a lot of fun.
Maybe someday.
Not today. I'm not even doing them right now.
So awkward fall, full snap, screws and plates.
Screw and plates.
Oh my.
Plate and screws. So just one plate. And send home the hockey gear for a little while. And that's just the way it goes.
I don't like that. That's not AHP approved.
Sorry.
I don't like that at all.
We'll have to get back to you. Sorry.
Dang it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, I have a question for you.
Hey, yes, I'm here to answer questions. Yes.
Which Avalanche player wore jersey number 102?
Every single one of them. Next.
Nice.
Next question.
So, we don't do jersey numbers because we're over 100.
Yes,
so,
we are.
We have to do the draft.
We are matching up years now. So, episode 100, yeah. we did the 2000 draft and 2001 draft last show. This is episode number 102 of the Avs Hockey Podcast, your home for almost everything Avalanche. So we're going to do the 2002 draft really quickly. Who was good?
Yeah.
Anybody good?
2000. Well, there was one guy. There were two guys I like. But there was one guy in particular that was pretty good. And he never played a game for the Avs. That would be Johnny Boychuk.
All right. He's had a decent career.
Yeah. Won a Stanley Cup with the Boston Bruins, was the AHL Defenseman of the Year. Good guy. Good hockey guy.
But, Thumbs up.
Good job. But, I was traded him away a little prematurely maybe.
Yeah, that happens.
I don't remember exactly what the story was with that.
There you go.
And then the other guy that, I was big on was Tyler Wyman.
Okay.
He was a backup goaltender. He just saw some preseason action, played for the Monsters, but he also played for the Colorado Eagles, then of the Central Hockey League, and he won the Central Hockey League Championship and Rookie of the Year and Goaltender of the Year all in the same year.
Not too bad.
No, not bad at all. And so, yeah, the first round pick for the Avs that year was Jonas Johansson. Yeah.
No, that's not a guy.
That's he played one NHL game and it wasn't with the Avs.
See, and that's the thing about the draft. I mean, I know people get really excited about it. And I think things are a little bit different right now just because of scouting and things like that. But you just never quite know what's going to happen with those picks. So,
yeah, no, I mean, the next draft is the one that's going to be interesting to talk about.
Oh, you're so everybody's going to have to tune in for AHP 103.
Who wouldn't? I mean, okay, mind you, with this wonderful start that we've had,
I know,
including a little bit of a Skype connection issue.
Yeah, how can you resist?
Tune in for something like this.
How can you resist at all?
Yeah. So other players that were, let's see, Tom Gilbert, who played 637 games.
He's still playing, I believe,
in the NHL.
Still playing.
He was drafted in the fourth round. Eric Lundberg never played in the NHL. Taylor Christie was a six-round pick. He never played in the NHL. Ryan Steeves, that's Steeves. That's a lot of E's. He never played in the NHL. So,
yeah. Not the best draft. So we'll save some time for next draft. How's that?
Yeah.
Are we good there?
Yeah. Yeah, we're totally good there. It's just, you know, wish we could have kept Johnny Boychuk, but, you know, such is life.
That's how it goes sometimes.
You know, it's I don't remember what the circumstances were surrounding trading him, but I will say that, you know, it just matters so much. It matters on the philosophy of what you want your defense to be. Offense, you go for the most talented guys or guys that are going to fit in a certain role, but defense, it just seems like there's either you go rugged or you go fast or everybody covets the puck moving defenseman, but do they fit into the overall plan?
Yeah.
Now, like a couple of years ago when it was O'Brien and O'Byrne and Zanin, you know, and they wanted guys that were hard to play against as far as being rough and tumble. That didn't work out so well. So
no, it sure didn't.
Yeah, there's that. And now we have this interesting mix of a couple of veteran guys, maybe some stay at home guys with some guys up front. Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about that.
You got the small offensive guy in Barry. You've got the kind of stay at home Beauchemin, Wiley veteran. Mm-hmm. You've got EJ who's somewhere in between. Yeah,
you've got the new Fetter Tootin. Which we're not sure what he's going to bring, but he does have a lot of experience. So, yeah. Got a
couple new guys, too. We can definitely talk about that. So, let's talk about new coach. How about that?
Yeah, let's do it.
New coach is undefeated so far. So, I'm pretty sure. I'm not one to, like, jinx anything, but I'm pretty sure the Avs aren't going to lose a game all season long.
All season.
Is that too bold? I mean, just let me know.
That sounds about right.
Okay, cool. Just let me know. Yes, August 25th. I'm nuts. August 25th, the Avalanche hired Lake Erie Monster head coach Jared Bednar to be the seventh head coach in Avalanche history. Out of the seven coaches in Avalanche history, only one, which was Joel Quenneville, had previous NHL experience. So the Avalanche like to come in with new people, and sometimes it's within the organization, and sometimes it's not. His team won the Calder Cup last season in Cleveland. And he also led South Carolina Stingrays to the 2009 ECHL championship. So, the good thing is, I know those are they are what they are, but he's a winner, and he's wherever he's been, he's won, and he's obviously the top prospect coming out of the AHL when it came to coaching. So, I don't know. It's hard to say whether he's a good pickup quite yet, but so far people seem to like him.
Why not? I mean, he you got to start somewhere. And you're not going to be, it's kind of like those jobs where they say, well, we need somebody with experience, but how do you get experience? You get experience on the job. So it's that vicious cycle. That's why NHL, that's why John Tortorella keeps getting jobs.
Yeah. It's actually not a bad gig if you can get it, man.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're well established, you're going to land somewhere. I mean, Granato's still in the league And
actually he's better off than he was before because now he's the head coach in Wisconsin.
So yeah, there's that
for the Badgers.
That's right. That's Granato. And then Mark Crawford is the name that keeps coming up. I know he's in the KHL for a little bit, and Bob Hartley keeps popping. So it's, hey, you got to respect these guys. They have a lot of knowledge, a lot of passion for the game, and you know, they've earned their way up there for sure.
But I don't see any reason why this guy shouldn't get a shot, especially after, you know, the way that he did have a very hot goalie in Lake Erie. And now I guess they're just the Cleveland Monsters rather than the Lake Erie Monsters.
Oh, okay.
Trying to shed that old Avs,
I guess,
never making the playoffs thing, I guess. Thanks.
That's right.
No, they made the playoffs. I'm sorry. They made the playoffs once while the Avs were there, were the affiliate. But yeah, even if it's a hot goalie and all, I think it's pretty much well deserved. If you're winning at the ECHL level, move up to the A. If you're winning at the A level, move up to the N. Let's do it.
Well, hopefully this is, you know, the players seem to be pretty happy with his system. I don't think they'd come out in front of the press and be like, I don't know about this system. But I mean, so far the players seem pretty happy. It's going to be very different. There's obviously needed to be some changes as far as, you know, puck possession, puck movement, a little more north south, and we'll see how that goes. So I haven't watched the team. I had a chance to go to a preseason game and passed it up, but it'll be interesting to see just a different whole mindset and a different system in place, and something that's hopefully going to help this team get a few more points and find their way back to the playoffs.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunately, it's one of those things that really it's going to be hard to talk about until there's actually something to talk about, until there's actual play with him and games, you know, real games as opposed to preseason stuff, which is like, doesn't really matter that much right now.
So we'll have to wait probably till 103 or 104 to kind of break down what we're thinking about his system. Patrick Williams on Twitter, P Williams NHL. He covers the AHL he covers the AHL for NHL.com and Sportsnet. He said about Bednar, consistent standards, won't play favorites, performance rather than status determine who plays. I think in the minor leagues, it's a little bit easier to say at least that last part, but I think it's going to be really interesting, just a whole new mindset. The players seem excited, and I know Bednar's got to be excited. He kept Tim Army around, and you know, hopefully, and like we said, we'll talk about this in a little bit. Avs find their way back to the playoffs because it's been a little too long since we've had consistent playoffs around here, and people are getting antsy for sure.
Well, you know, there's 8 playoff slots and now 16 teams in the West. So, 15 teams in the West soon with Vegas coming in. So it's, you know, somebody's got to drop out. Somebody's got for the Avs to get in. I'm hoping it's Minnesota, because already Bruce Boudreaux today, he was talking about how he can't make his team play physical. He can't make them start becoming a checking team. It's like, ooh, already we're having rifts like this?
Sounds good.
It's not good.
Yeah, it's one of those things where the Avs didn't make any huge offseason moves. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be the young guys and the guys just getting a little bit more of that experience that are going to have to be that much better, because it's not going to be, you know, addition, you know, a better team by addition. It's going to be a better team by, you know, development. And we're going to have to see about that, while other teams, you're going to have to hope that some of the older teams kind of drop off a little bit for the Avs to get in there, because obviously what they had been doing in the past, system or no system, wasn't good enough. So either way, I'm excited for the season. I know you are too, and that's why we're here.
Absolutely. As we're recording this right now, the Avs are playing in the Frozen Fury game, which we can't get decent stats on at all or anything.
No.
They're just not set up for it.
And we're blacked out too. I'm in Denver, yep, and I can't watch the game either. So that's not real. That's not real convenient.
NHL.com here, and nope.
We don't prefer that at all. But
no,
we're ready for the season. So speaking of getting ready for the season, the World Cup of Hockey just ended about a week ago. I didn't watch a ton of that. I don't know why I was not too excited about it. I'm definitely more excited about Avalanche hockey, but I guess it's a good kind of warm up for the season. Matt Duchene wins gold, and Nathan MacKinnon with just a sick overtime winner against the King, Lundqvist. That was just amazing, and we're happy he's on our team. But did you get a chance to watch much of the World Cup of Hockey?
You know, because of my broken ankle, because I was laid up so much, I actually watched a lot more than I expected. The hockey was exciting, but I really didn't have a lot of rooting interest. Team USA, of course, would be the number one rooting interest, and the Team North America kind of split that interest a little bit because they were just so fun and so fast. And there were obvious issues with Team USA because they didn't win a thing, and I think they scored two goals.
It was tough to watch.
Well, the first two games they scored two goals, and one of those Joe Thornton put into his own net, so mm-hmm. It was actually more like one. And then I think that they were a little bit of a challenge for the Czechs, but not much. Yeah. Man, I don't know where Patrick Kane goes in these international tournaments lately.
It's disappointing for sure. And Tortorella it's Tortorella. How about that?
I get the impression that he kind of talked himself out of a job, but, you know, the thing with it, it was a lot of fun hockey. It was hard to have rooting interests, and considering the round robin format, Team USA was on the brink of elimination after losing one game.
That doesn't
make for a great fun tournament. And I'll be honest with you, the very last game, the game two of the final of the best of three, I forgot that it was on.
Yeah,
I didn't remember it was on until I saw like a tweet or something about it. And I was like, oh no, I completely missed it. Oh well.
So what was it like? And I know attendance wasn't very good either, but it's in Toronto where people care about hockey, and I'm sure they would have loved. Did they price themselves out? Was it too close to the season? I don't know. It's hard to put my finger on why hockey fans weren't as excited as even the NHL thought that, or the world, whoever's sponsoring the whole thing as far as that goes. But why weren't people that excited, do you think?
Yeah, I think I wrote about this somewhat on my blog on Jerseys and Hockey Love a little bit about the money aspect of it, because the NHL they were pretty high priced tickets, and that's the thing in Toronto is like the tickets are really high priced in Toronto because there are so many corporate tickets and so many, they sell out game after game, even though there'll be seats empty, because a lot of those tickets go to corporate sponsors or businesses that bought them and things like that. So then you have this other thing that isn't part of that system, that isn't season tickets. Maybe the high priced ticket angle, they didn't really think through too much. Tickets are priced out at what the market can bear. And I think they found out that the market couldn't bear what they were charging.
Yeah. And I don't know, but believe me, I mean, you and I are as big hockey fans as I think we'll find in a lot of places. And I wasn't, if it was on and I kind of saw it, cool. But otherwise, besides the Avalanche prospects, I know Nathan MacKinnon had another goal besides that. And that was kind of great to see. And Matt Duchene looked great from what I saw as well. But other than that, I guess maybe it was kind of the rooting interest as well. I think with the Olympics now involved a little bit more too, it's just like, it's another tournament, and it seems like a money grab, but I agree with you in the point where they might have priced themselves out. They thought people were going to be way more excited about this than they were, because there was a lot of empty seats there from what I know.
Yeah. I mean, there was, Russia would sell good. I mean, obviously Canada, US would sell pretty well. Except for probably that last game with the Czechs, where it was meaningless at that point.
Right.
Sweden, Finland would be a good draw, but they undersold Team Europe, who turned out to be a lot better than anybody expected. Yeah. They staged it in a way to get the US-Canada rivalry and to do their best to get Canada through to the final. It did feel really... It felt so made up. It's a sport. I mean, sports are made up anyways. It's not, it's not a universal thing, but this thing felt so made up. Yeah.
I wonder what they'll do in the future to hopefully get people a little more excited. Cause it used to be, I mean, you were there in 96, right? You were able to watch some of that in Minnesota.
2004.
In 2004. Sorry. Yeah. But I mean, I think people in the past have been a lot more excited about things. I know in 96, the U.S. Canada gold medal game was they still replayed on an NHL network, and plus they had beautiful jerseys. I know that didn't have anything to do with anything, but I love the jerseys. But I mean, I don't know. I'm curious to see what the NHL is going to do to try and either, you know, boost interest in that so they can kind of get people excited like they should be, or I don't know. It'll be interesting the adjustments they make. I'm curious for sure.
I agree. And, you know, 04 was fun, but also 04 had, you know, games in Minnesota and games in Germany. And, you know, there were a lot of games overseas, and it kind of made for a world feel that this was just kind of, let's bring all these guys here to Toronto. And it's great that they could save money that way, but saving money isn't everything. You pay for the things that are worth it. And if the NHL thought that this was so worth it, why weren't they paying better for it, paying as they should have, you know, setting it up that way?
That's a perfect segue into your other blog post. And we're not just trying to push this blog post either, but this is perfect, actually. But
well, and there are things that I really wanted to know about from you and how you felt about these things.
Absolutely. And we have talked about preseason hockey before, and I already said I turned down a couple opportunities to go to games during the preseason for the Avalanche. But what's bugged me a little bit more about this is the full price for not a full team. For a tryout for, and the Avalanche consistently have charged full price for those tickets. And I just,
everybody does.
I just don't understand that. If you're going to charge more for the playoffs, why do you charge, you know, the same price for preseason when it's not? In the past, the Avalanche have had like kind of not an A and a B squad, but, you know, a team, half the stars play on this team, half the stars play on the other team, and you get one or the other. All the kind of pregame hype and all the routines and everything, very different as well. I don't know. I don't understand why that is and how much money. I doubt they're losing money on these games, but they could probably get a few more people there if they just drop the season tickets, because they charge season ticket holders full price for all those games. I guess because they can, but it doesn't lead to attendance either, because I saw some of the pictures from the preseason Avalanche games and there's not many people there. But I also know that opening night is not sold out yet either. So it's
really,
yeah, it could be, this is kind of a big year for the Avs, and the fact that they don't have the outdoor game, they don't have 20th anniversary, they don't have all that stuff going on. If they continue to struggle like that, I imagine, unless it's opposing fans like for Chicago and Boston and New York Rangers and things like that, they're going to struggle a little bit when it comes to attendance. But how about your thoughts on preseason hockey, kind of money grab-ish stuff that goes from a World Cup of hockey also into preseason NHL?
Yeah, this year there were 6 preseason games, and every year there's the Frozen Fury, which this should be the last year for that, since the Vegas team will be up and running next season. But it does feel money grabbish because there's not much reason for it. They don't need to have as much preseason because the vast majority, especially in the salary cap era, the vast majority of your contracts are locked in. We know who the squad is going to be. There might be a guy here and there.
Maybe one or two. Yeah, that's about it. Yeah.
So I was looking at how the preseason games and who was playing in them. And the game that was on, I think it was the 2nd, October 2nd, the Avs had like 5 guys who were not even close to bubble players playing on the Avs. And what is now this season? Okay, this season might be a little bit of an exception with the new coach. I can see that as being a reason, maybe needing a little extra time to look at. But this is nothing. It's not like they scheduled these games because of the coach. There just isn't this need for this many preseason games. If you're getting up to speed, play your guys. If you're, you know, if you're gonna just look at people who are going to play, you know, who might be on the bubble, play your bubble guys. But those first 2 preseason games, there's hardly a bubble guy even on the ice.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like you don't hear very often at all. It's like if that kid would have had a better preseason, or that kid had a great preseason and they, you know, they made the roster, or vice versa. And it's just, I don't know. I don't get there. There's no real hype to it. It's not the caliber hockey that you're used to if it's a high caliber team. And I just don't get the whole full price thing. And I think it was a Pierre LeBrun on your blog post that talked about why is the preseason so long anyway, how it should be shorter. So, and then the other thing is too, they work so hard to get into regular season shape through the preseason. And now between tonight and their season opener next Saturday, there's a whole week. So there's a whole week of practice or rest or whatever they'll do that will, you know, take them out of game shape. And So I don't know, a lot more questions as time goes by than there are answers as far as what's up with NHL preseason for sure.
And how many guys are actually getting injured doing this? I mean, it's, if you're playing hockey, you're going to get injured. Case in point.
Yeah, you know that.
which is ridiculous because, again, I'm not an NHLer or anything like that. But, you know, I've got, you know, I'm injured and I'm, and it's a hard game. And that was just during like a stick and puck. It wasn't even during a game.
Yeah.
Tonight, the Panthers, Huberdeau got injured. Looks like a skate sliced him. May have gotten down past the Achilles guard and, you know, in a preseason game, that's a tough nut to swallow. And how many people were injured in the World Cup of Hockey?
Yeah.
Especially that Tyler Seguin one where he went feet first into the boards and he was done.
Yep.
And he's coming off of Achilles injuries. That's ugly.
I think there's
already
one NHL player who's been suspended for the rest of the preseason, plus the first four NHL games. I can't remember who it was. It was a couple nights ago.
It wasn't Shaw.
I know he got in trouble for egging on the fans during a fight too, but
yeah,
I mean,
Chalmerson got the entire preseason plus one game.
Yeah, I mean, so there's that
Dudas
stuff too.
Has one already that was questionable, and now again another one tonight. So yeah, it's meaningless hockey. And then you go into the regular season that's 82 games, and people feel like that's not good enough hockey until you get to the playoffs. You know, you start wondering, man. So what is the point of this 6 games of slop?
Exactly. I agree. Yeah. I'm with you.
I'm just saying. All right.
I'm with you here.
I'm good.
Hey,
I'm glad.
Hey, James, tape leg, Graylian.
What?
I have questions. I have questions for you.
Oh.
And I want to.
This is weird because I don't normally have questions for you. I don't ask you enough questions. I don't ask you nearly enough questions. I got to get on my question game.
I still have questions for you. You can ask me the question back when you're done answering the question. But I just wanted to thank everybody who answered Twitter polls. Today I posted a couple questions and I think it's a great way for people to easily kind of get involved into what we're doing and things like that. So Twitter poll number one was, will the Colorado Avalanche Hockey Club make the Stanley Cup playoffs this year? There were 84 votes at least so far. 76% of the Avalanche fans believe the Avs will be back in the Stanley Cup playoffs this year. Do you agree with the people? I know it'd be awesome and I'll answer this in a second, but do you agree with the people? Are the Avs going to make the playoffs?
You know what? I agree with the people.
Okay.
I do.
All right.
I think that they will make the playoffs.
Tell me why. Tell me a little more why. Why are they going to make the playoffs as compared to last year? Why are they going to be better this year than last year? Go for it.
I have no idea what the coach is going to do, but I'm assuming that he's going to unleash the fury. You know, he's going to let the forwards play.
That sounds like a hashtag.
Thank you.
That's probably been used.
Thank you. That is what I aspire to in life is just to come up with things that sound like hashtags or t-shirts.
There you go. I was just going to say t-shirts.
I was going to, I'm about to release my new t-shirt. It's get to the choppa. Yeah. Thinking about that one.
That's
might
already
be fun.
It's already been used. You're going to get in trouble.
I'd never heard of that before. I thought it was completely original. So I think they will make it.
Okay.
I don't see the only reason that they might not make it is A, depending on what happens in goal. B, if the, well, I mean, lots of reasons can happen. I mean, but I think that they can.
Okay.
I really think that they can.
All right.
Yeah.
I am.
How about you?
I'm cautiously optimistic. Let's put it that way.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
I know. I'm always kind of on the fence with it. And I hope I'm wrong with this. And believe me, I'll be rooting just as hard as anybody. But I just don't know whether their young talent has gotten that much better than everybody else has regressed. So I hope I'm wrong. I'll bring up some other stuff in this next question though, too, but
I don't know how much of it's going to matter, whether it's the players or the coach. Yeah. I honestly don't know. I mean, the one thing that a coach can do in the wrong way is rein them in too much.
Yeah.
I don't know if that, you know, I don't know what possibility that is, but, you know, that might have been some of things that happened with Wah. We'll have to see with the new guy.
Okay. We're rooting for them, as always.
Yeah.
All right, Twitter poll number two. Who scores the most hockey pucks this season? Is it going to be Matt Duchene, Nathan McKinnon, or someone else?
Ooh.
Oh,
I think it's gonna be Matt Duchene.
Okay, you want to?
Oh, what?
Go ahead.
Oh,
yeah, I didn't.
Gonna,
I didn't give.
No, no. I don't want to. I don't want to influence on this one. Okay. I think it's gonna be Duchene.
Okay.
I just want to see more goals. I'm worried that this team just doesn't. They aren't scoring the hockey puck enough.
Yeah.
That's my concern. That you know, when you have that 30 goals. And no one else is all that close. That's not great.
That's valid, and I've seen a couple other people kind of worried about the getting outshot very badly. And I know there's people that I've heard at one point, I've said it before in the show, that the only people that worry about shots on goal are the press or the fans, and the team's more worried about quality scoring chances and kind of finishing those. But yeah, there is that thing. So it's going to be.
Go ahead. Man, I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
I just don't agree with that, because how many times do we see, and we saw this in the World Cup, we've seen this with the Avs, we've seen this with teams that have skill players that are kind of in those slumps, and they try and make those fancy plays. The fancy plays don't get you very far.
Yeah.
And you know, that one too many passes. So, you know, it's the amount of shots matter when you are doing other things right too, yeah. Like putting pucks on net, or putting traffic in, you know, in the way of the goaltender, screening, you know, you take care of those things, then you got to be getting the puck to the net.
Even puck possession, though. I mean, the Avs have struggled the last couple seasons, even just having the puck more than the opponents, and let alone, mm-hmm. you know, they're starting to pay a little more attention to shot attempts, not just on net, but, you know, how many shots were directed at the net as opposed to the opposition. And I don't know. The Avs struggle with that a little bit.
Well, they kind of have to, because so many shots get blocked these days.
Exactly. So
it's almost like if you don't have that that balance, you're if you aren't actually looking at how often they try, then you're not looking at much.
Exactly. Exactly. So hopefully the Avs will be on the other end of those a little more often this year. There's a fine Avalanche commercial on right now. Hashtag next era. Tickets on sale now. Visit ColoradoAvalanche.com. That was good timing on that. That was on ESPN as well.
Really?
Yeah. So Matt Duchene, the people voted, 78 people voted, 29% said Matt Duchene.
Nice.
69%. 69% said Nathan MacKinnon, and 2% said someone else. So obviously it's going to be health. I think Matt Duchene is growing up, getting bigger, stronger, looking great. Now, he was playing with a ton of talent around him for Team Canada. Mm-hmm. The Avs don't have that much talent. Nobody has as much talent as Team Canada does. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I don't know between Duchene and MacKinnon. It's going to be whoever's healthier. Thanks, Captain Obvious. But I do want to say Gabriel Landeskog has a 30-goal season coming up here pretty soon. So I've said all along that
you think that Gabriel Landeskog can score 30 goals.
I do. I believe he can score 30 hockey pucks this season or in a season upcoming. He's a guy that gets a ton of chances. If he just is able to do what he needs to do and finish when he needs to finish, I've said all along, and you can listen to the other shows, that he has a 30 goal season in front of him. So I don't know if it's going to be this year.
I will. But, I will listen to the other shows. I'm going to go back and I'm going to listen and I'm going to see if that's the case.
Okay, I'll wait. Go ahead.
I probably won't actually.
But
I'm just going to take your word for it.
No, that's fine.
You know, I basically just called you a liar, and I'm sorry.
I've been called so much worse than that. It's no big deal.
You've been called worse.
It's exciting when we got scorers on the Avalanche like Duchene and MacKinnon, and some power guys like Landeskog who will knock people on their butts as well. So. There you go.
Yeah, we're going to see what happens with MacKinnon and the new coach, and whether or not the question that always comes up for me is MacKinnon going to play by himself, or is he going to play with his teammates? Yeah. And if he's playing with his teammates, I think he's got a chance to break his 30 goal plateau.
Okay. All right. Hopefully overall there's going to be a lot of hockey pucks scored. That's what we do know. All right, third poll. Thoughts on Semyon Varlamov? Mm-hmm. Do we have a breakout year?
So.
Do we have the same Varley and it's still okay? Or is it time to maybe move on?
This is really tough.
It is a tough one. And it's that's kind of why I asked the question. And I'm not trying to hate on Varley at all. But it's just interesting to think about kind of who he is. He's not exactly upper, you know, the top echelon of goaltenders in the NHL. But he's definitely not the bottom either. So he's kind of caught in the middle, and I don't know. It's just, and I'm not trying to blame him for anything either. I think he, you know, when he's on, he steals games for you. And he's definitely on more than he's off. So there is that. But is it time to move on? Is the same old Varley going to get the Avs where they need to go? Or is he ready for a big year and kind of step up his game a little bit and move up to that next level of NHL goaltender? I don't have an answer for this one.
I don't either. It's kind of one of those, which Varley's going to show up, or, you know, which, in a way, which Varley is going to show up after he hits any kind of a rut? Because 82 games is a long season. Every goaltender is going to hit some kind of a rut. It always seems like when he flails for a while.
Yeah.
And he doesn't come back quickly from that. Well, if he came back a little quicker, I'd have a little more confidence in it. That's kind of what I want to see. And so how do I feel about Varley? You know what? He signed. He's the guy. I want him to do better than he has been. I just don't know if he's going to do better than he has been.
Yeah, and I think some of this has to do with the quality of the defense, the consistency in front of him. You show me a good defensive core. You show me the Duncan Keiths of the world and the Brent Seabrooks and the Drew Doughtys and the sometimes the Erik Karlssons and those top level guys. I'll show you a good goaltender, and I'll show you a really good coach too. So there's that aspect of the goaltending as well. Where if he had a little more help in front of him, as far as, and I'm not saying the Avalanche guys are low quality, but I'm saying there are better quality guys out there that, you know, obviously those teams aren't going to let go. So there's that aspect of that. It's the goaltender. You can ask Roberto Luongo about this. The goaltender can't steal games for you all season. You need some help with that, either on the offensive end or defensive end, and preferably both. There were 71 votes here. Mm-hmm. 23% of the people said it was a breakout year. 59% said it was going to be the same Varley, still fine. And 18% said it might be time to move on. So I think if you are going to move him, you still need to have some leverage with that. And, you know, there is that too. So his name comes up during the trade deadline during most years. And, you know, who knows what might happen. But hoping for a big year from him, because that definitely won't hurt the Avalanche's chances with anything. That's for sure.
Well, you kind of said it also with the defense, and I'll a good example of that would be, I think, Sergei Bobrovsky with the Columbus Blue Jackets. He flailed a lot. He stole games, like Varley can steal a game here and there. He would steal games occasionally with the Blue Jackets. But look at his performance in the World Cup of Hockey. He had a great World Cup of Hockey. Part of why he had a great World Cup of Hockey is because he had a world-class defense in front of him.
Absolutely.
You know, I agree with what you said about the Blackhawks. You put that defense in front of people, you're generally going to do pretty well. You know, you can't just put any goofball in there. I mean, you put me in net or Darren Pang in net, and it's not going to go so well.
Why Darren Pang? Why'd you go towards Darren Pang?
Because he's tiny. Because he's so small.
He's just this
and he
much.
He would tell you the same thing.
He's just this much bigger than a puck. Yeah,
I mean, if you were in there, you'd obviously have a better chance of stopping pucks because, you know, you're tall.
I could just lay
you're
down.
A big guy.
I'll just
you
lay
could
down
just reach over. You wouldn't even have to move side to side. You just reach your arm to the mm-hmm. side, left or right. You're Ben Bishop big. Yeah. You know,
what am I doing sitting here in my basement podcasting with you when I could be in the NHL?
I don't know. It's. I think you've made better choices in your life than spending your time around me. That's for sure.
Do you want to be my?
I would get out there and get something done.
Well,
I'll be your hype man.
Well, yeah. Well, maybe we can fix this. Do you want to be my agent? I'm making an NHL run like right now.
Oh sure. Why not?
Okay. Podcast is over. Got to go, folks. Got work to do. Bye.
You want me to start calling people right now?
We got everything figured out.
I got a guy.
He's really big.
Let me tell you about this guy.
He's really big. He's Ben Bishop big. How much do you want to pay him?
Big.
Yeah. Man, we got to.
He's worth an entry level contract at least.
I'm telling you, every year during free agency, I wait by the phone and nobody ever calls me. It sucks.
I wait by the phone and three people call me and they all say no.
This is awful.
Nobody likes me.
Man,
it's just sad.
What are we doing? We made bad choices. We should be in the NHL.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I need the fans of the Avs Hockey Podcast to make us feel better. I don't know how. Send me ice cream. I don't know, but something.
That's a thing. They can send you ice cream.
I don't know. I mean, I'm in Albuquerque. It might not make it here by the time I leave. You know, just
we'll find
look
out.
Around, try and find me. I'm the guy on the little push scooter thing or on crutches, depending. Just look for the guy hobbling along with the hockey jersey. That'll be me.
With the "Will work for ice cream" sign. Yeah, that's him.
Will podcast. People are for like, ice cream.
Isn't that James? No, that's not. That can't be James. Yeah, that's actually.
Look at that guy. He's just sad.
Well, that's the.
And it's going to be interesting to see what Calvin Pickard does as the number two guy, as the full time number two guy. He definitely made the most of his opportunities before. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's anything that is absolutely predictable about goaltending. We've seen so many guys that do well and then they get their next contract and they flail. They start to crash and they crash for good. They crash for a little bit and they make a massive comeback. Tim Thomas, I mean, the mm-hmm. guy was the guy who goes to Europe. He's nowhere near the NHL, comes back, wins a Stanley Cup. You know, there, I just don't think that there's enough rhyme or reason. And I think that there's a lot of technique. There's a lot of skill. There's a lot of things that you can predict, but there's enough. Yeah. The things that are in their head.
Absolutely.
There's just enough things that you really can't. Yep. I mean, you've probably seen it. You've been around locker rooms. You've been around baseball. You've probably seen guys go through their ups and downs. I mean, how does it work?
There's a lot of guys, and this is with any sport. There's a lot of guys with talent. There's talent everywhere. And what makes the difference is health. Health is one thing. But it's also the mental game, and it's the guys that have it mentally that are steady. And Varley's proven to be pretty good at this, to where if he has a bad game, he has those stretches, but it's not a stretch where it's like he needs to take a break or something like that. Because there are those stretches, and the guys that end up playing in the NHL, the guys that have not only the talent but they have that mental game figured out as well. So it's that, and it's such a team game, and it's such a, you know, having a defense like a Team Canada defense or a Team Russia team defense playing in front of you, that'll help your mental game. You know, that'll, knowing those guys are legit and knowing those guys are going to make great plays and great decisions, that helps you relax mm-hmm. a little bit and make some plays. So I'm not worried about Varley or Calvin Pickard's mental game. But, you know, I think it's one of those things where every team wants to improve in certain spots, and you can never have enough great goaltending, and the Avalanche could use that. So, we'll see. We're definitely rooting for him, obviously, and hoping for great things. And hopefully this is going to be a great year. I'm excited. Are you? I think I can speak for us both. We're definitely excited about the season. So, I mean,
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, the World Cup of Hockey came and went, and it was kind of a puff piece, but it was good hockey. It was a good game, even though but I kind of miss rooting for somebody. Yeah. I miss that aspect of hockey is a part that at least with the stuff that you watch, that you choose to watch. When I go to like a minor league game, I'll often root for the home team if there's no real rooting interest, because, you know, it's fun. Yeah. And you want to see the fans have a good time and what it's like when they win. But, you know, oftentimes I don't care. I'm just there to see a game. But with something like the World Cup of Hockey, and you have, you know, there's all that hype and the game and the quality of the games were so good, I miss having something to root for.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I'm totally ready for the Avs. I'm ready to see what the team is going to look like. I'm ready to see what the new coach brings. Yeah. Bring the thunder. I'm ready.
Hopefully it's going to be a great season, and we're excited to bring it to you. I mean, like I said, this mm-hmm. is 9 years going on for the HP, and just a couple less for me and James. And our goal is to bring you at least one show every month, and we're going to bring that to you and give you our breakdown and talk about stuff that matters to us and hopefully matters to you.
We're going to try not to stretch, like, you know, 20 minutes worth of content into 40 minutes of podcast like we kind of did today, but, you know.
Sometimes we do that, and that's okay. We need – there wasn't that much to talk about, but we made it happen. So we needed a preseason show to get ready to get going, and James's travel stuff is coming up. So we brought you a mm-hmm. show when we could, and that's what we do.
Yep.
That is definitely what we
do. And I'm headed to San Francisco pretty soon, so I'm going to be there for 8 weeks. So if anybody's in the area, love to see you or whatnot, look me up. Yeah.
I'll be the guy on the on the scooter with the work for ice cream.
I'll be the guy. Hopefully by then I'll be walking some, a little.
Hobbling. We'll see how it goes. Hobbling for sure. Got to be careful.
I'm trying.
Right on.
I'm trying.
Right on. Are we
right on?
Are we ready?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Remember that?
How out of practice.
Want me to stretch this out? I can do shout out real quick.
No.
If you want me to.
No, I think I got it coming up. Hang on 1 second. Oh, yeah. I can do the spiel.
You got it? I was going to start talking. Yeah. Hey, guys, there was this one time when.
My raspy spiel.
All right. James Tape by Graylian with the spiel. Here he goes.
You can always find the Avs Hockey Podcast at www.avshockeypodcast.com. On there. Oh, there's so much stuff. There's this episode. Mm-hmm. There's the previous episode.
We know it's
there's the one before that.
We know it's there because we put
to
it
subscribe.
There. Yes.
There's links to subscribe in iTunes. You can subscribe on your Android phone. If you don't have either one of those, we can figure out how to subscribe you with another link there. And you can like just do Morse code and tap sticks together. There's links to Jay's Twitter feed at Avs Podcast. There's links to the Avs Hockey Podcast Facebook page, Jay's Instagram account, links to get a curse word shirt if you want. There's a link for Team AHP, the hashtag Team AHP, and go see what that is all about. Of course, Jay is going to be ramping up Avs Twitter Psychic for this season. And there's a link at the top that talks about that and how you play and why you play and why wouldn't you play?
Oh, yeah.
Why wouldn't you play? Come on.
That's right.
Play. Have fun.
Come on.
Email us if you like at Avs Hockey Podcast. @gmail.com. Call us at 845-704-RINK. That's 845-704-7465. Yeah, that just renewed for another year. So
yes,
that's up and going.
That's right.
Jay posted up that Ian LaPerriere jersey. That was right before the last one. It's all photo matched and stuff. So if you want to go check that out, Jay's going to be posting up more jerseys. I think he's got that Team for Lunda one that he's going to post. And didn't you get that game-worn Yuri Babienko one?
No, I don't have any Yuri Babienkos. But I do need to tell the story behind my Blake Como a Stadium Series jersey. So look for that sometime. I'll be putting that together.
Awesome. And all of that, of course, is at avshockeypodcast.com. I just put up a couple of blog posts about hockey at Jerseys and Hockey Love, which is my blog that just hit 10 years. And, you know, it was just as disappointing as ever. And go check it out. And, of course, I'm on Twitter at Tapeleg. And I think that's it.
Breaking news for people that won't be listening to this live or whatever. The Avalanche just won. Gabriel Landeskog scores in overtime to make the Avalanche undefeated during the preseason. So my prediction still stands. They're not losing all season long. That would be a record.
Nice. Mm-hmm. That 2% might be right. That said it would be somebody else.
That would be a record. So thank you, James. We're ready for the season. Season starts a week from today as we record this. And, man, it's hockey time. It doesn't feel like it. The weather's not hockey weather at all around here. But it will be soon. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's I'm ready. It's just time. You know, we've talked about it before that, you know, whether or not the off season feels too long, not long enough. This one feels just right. Let's do it.
San Francisco next. So right. San Francisco.
Yep.
Safe travels and you don't need to break anything else or we don't need any more screws or plates or anything like that. Is that,
you're no fun.
Can we make a deal for that? Like,
no.
Oh man.
No promises, man.
Wait, how many plates and screws are you up to right now?
Four plates and I think about 19 or 20 screws. No, a little more than that, I think.
So flying on a plane and getting through security is probably pretty
is fine.
Probably
it's
pretty
fine.
Interesting. Yeah.
No, nothing happens.
Mm-hmm. Ever.
Nothing happens.
Yep. All right. It's fine. Well, safe travels. Keep healing. And it's always a pleasure. Right. And I'm so looking for this is you know, whether the Avs win or lose is one thing, but this is one of my favorite parts of the season is making podcasts with you. So, yes.
I'm very sorry about that. Wrap us up here, Jay.
I was trying to have a moment and it just didn't go that well. So, James, take care, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
And everybody out there, we will be back soon. Keep an eye on Twitter for that. And until we talk to you next time, take care. Let's go, Avs. And James and I will talk to you again soon on the Avs Hockey Podcast. See ya. And then cue more silly stuff.
I have three names. I've got a middle name and a first name and a last name. And I'm here to talk about hockey. But while we're at it, oh, look over there. There's a squirrel. And going to go to San Francisco. And oh, oh, that's cool. I've got so much stuff going on. Don't you wish you were me?
That's exactly what it sounds like.
Pretty much.